بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إلهي تغني لك الحمد عن كاس وعن ساقي دنيا ويوم يكون الكشف عن ساقي ثم الصلاة على الهادي وأذخرها أبغي رضاك وأنت الأول الباقي. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على النبي العدنان وآله المنتخبين الأخيار ومن نهل معينه السر المدرار ما ناح الشادي وحد الحادي. To our brothers in Iman and our sisters in faith, we welcome in all of you to this series of Shortcut to Paradise, memorizing the 40 ahadith, hoping and praying that Allah subhanahu jalla jalalu will admit us into his house of delectation on the day of Qiyamah. Allahumma ameen. Last week, we took hadith number 14 of Abi Huraira in Sahih, wherein Prophet encouraged all of us to be kind to our neighbors, generous to our guests, and that if we have nothing to say, the best is to be quiet if what comes out of our mouth is not khair. But if you have khair, if you have good things to say, make sure you verbalize them. If what comes out of your mouth is not khair, it's not pleasing Allah, then the best option is for you to be silent and remain quiet. Today, with the awn of Allah, with the help of Allah, his support, aid, and assistance, I will begin with hadith number 15, the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, radiyallahu anhu, from the hadith of Abi Hurairata, radiyallahu anhu wa ardah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide me in explaining this hadith the way that pleases Allah and His Messenger, and that He opens your heart to be, you know, objectives in the information that we will share with you three through the benefit of this hadith, inshallah. So today we will have hadith number 15, بِإِذْنِ الْمَلِكِ جَلَّ جَلَالُ, inshallah. Or hadith number 16, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, as we took hadith 15 last week. So today I will begin with hadith number 16, because the one I just mentioned, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, is 15, and this hadith is hadith number 16. It's from Abi Huraira radiyallahu anhu, anna rajulan أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله أو فقال يا نبي الله أوصني. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تغضب, فردد مرارا وفي كل ذلك يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تغضب. From أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, may Allah forever be pleased with him, he said, a man came to Nabi, to our Rasul, the Prophet of Allah, and said, O Messenger of Allah, awsini, give me a wasiyah. What I'm requesting from you, O Allah's Messenger, is nothing but counseling. So he's asking Prophet ﷺ to counsel him, to give him advice, and also to give him something that he, throughout his life, could carry in order for him to get benefit so long as he remains alive. So he's seeking counseling from Prophet ﷺ, saying, awsini, give me wasiyah, give me a discourse, or give me a wasiyah and advice that will help me throughout my life. Prophet ﷺ looked at him, he said, la taghdab, don't become angry. Don't be angry. Then he asked, awsini, I'm still seeking for counseling, O Rasulullah. Then Prophet ﷺ said to him, la taghdab, don't become angry. And then he asked again, raddada miraran, several times he kept on saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, awsini, awsini, awsini. Because to him, what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying is not sufficient. According to his way of gauging advice, don't become angry, it's not sufficient. So that's why he kept on asking, awsini, awsini. And in all, Prophet is saying to him, la taghdab, don't become angry. So the reason why Prophet ﷺ kept on saying to him, la taghdab, la taghdab, don't become angry, Imam al-Nawawi said the meaning of don't become angry doesn't mean don't be angry, because this is tabi'atul bashar. It is the nature of human being. Who can be, you know, human being and say, you know, I will never get angry? This is impossible. Even Prophet ﷺ get angry. So what is the meaning of anger here? Imam al-Nawawi رضي الله عنه said the meaning of لا تغضب أي لا تنفذ غضبك. Don't carry out your anger and allow your anger to goad you in doing things that are not welcomed in the Sharia of Allah. You get angry, you start saying things that, you know, displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things that are displeasing to Allah, you know, it's much easier for a person to say them when he is angry. When a person is angry and he carries out his anger, he allows his anger to overcome him, what happens is that he starts to act, you know, unusual. So that is the meaning of don't become angry. It doesn't mean don't be angry, because we all, as human beings, we get angry sometimes. And as I said, even Prophet ﷺ gets angry, but when Prophet ﷺ only gets angry when Prophet ﷺ's way or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way is violated. The hukum of Allah is being violated. That's when Prophet gets angry. But he never gets angry because of his own, you know, hawa. No, Prophet will never get angry because he says something to him that he doesn't like. How many times we see in hadith a person coming to him struggling, but Prophet ﷺ looking at him smiling. But the time that Prophet ﷺ will get upset and really, really furious is when Allah's command is being violated. When the hukum and the rules of Allah are not being obeyed. That's when Prophet ﷺ, even tuhikat hurumatullah, when the hurumat of Allah, and if you remember we talked about محارم ألا وإن لكل ملك حمى ألا وإن حمى الله محارمه, as we talked about before. You see, so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands are being violated is when prophets get angry. So when you're supposed to be angry and carry out to let people know that you're upset is when people, you know, openly challenge the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bringing up their hukum above that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, don't be angry or don't become angry means do not allow your anger to override you, to say things that are not good, to act in a such manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his messenger, so salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, you know, doesn't want you to behave. So to be angry as human being is your nature. It's my nature to be angry. I'm not going to be sitting right here and somebody, you know, throw a rock at me right now and I start bleeding, then I'm happy. This will never happen. I won't be sitting, somebody, you know, start hitting me and then I'm happy. That's not the nature of human being. You're going to get angry. By default, you will be angry. And sometimes you will express your anger. But what Prophet ﷺ meant is not never allow your anger to goad you to doing things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like. But to be angry is something normal. Even Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he used to say, "Man istughdiba falam yaghdab fahuwa himar." Umar, man istughdiba falam yaghdab fahuwa himar. Imam al-Shafi'i used to say, you know, he said, whosoever is made, you know, really, really upset because people get him angry, and he is not angry. That means he's a himar, he's a donkey. You know, a donkey is just, you keep on hating donkey, donkey is just there. But as human beings, somebody did something that you're supposed to get angry. By default, you're supposed to get angry. But the point here is, do not allow your anger to push you to doing things that are not praiseworthy. And that's why when Allah praised in Quran, when Allah praises those who will inherit Jannah on the day of Qiyamah, who will be in paradise on the day of Qiyamah, he did not say they are the ones who don't get angry. That's not how Allah described them. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفَرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. What did Allah say after that? وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ means those who swallow their own anger. When they're angry, you know, they swallow their anger, meaning they control themselves. Not you angry, you just start in the middle of, you know, in the midst of people, start shouting and yelling and saying some things that people will say, is he all right? Not like that. In your voice here, you angry and you're upset, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to say things that Allah doesn't want you to say or act in a manner that you are not actually required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to act. That's why when Abu Dharr came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeking advice, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, la taghdab, don't be angry, meaning don't carry your anger out to behave in a very awkward, you know, way. And here is a man who came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, ya Rasulullah, allimni shay'an aw allimni shay'an yuqarribuni ila al-jannah wa yub'iduni 'an an-nar aw min an-nar. O Messenger of Allah, teach me something that will take me closer to Jannah and away from hellfire. Prophet ﷺ said, La taghdab wa laka al-jannah. Don't be angry and Allah will give you Jannah. La taghdab wa laka al-jannatu. Don't be angry, meaning don't carry out your anger. That's why in the hadith of At-Tabarani, Prophet ﷺ said, when one of you is upset and really, really upset, and he is standing, let him sit there. And the person is really angry, and he or she is standing, Prophet ﷺ said, sit there. Huh? Are you angry? While you're standing, make sure you sit there. And then Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الْغَضَبُ وَإِلَّا فَلْيَطَّجِعْ. If the anger is gone after, you know, sitting down, then alhamdulillah. If not, you're sitting down and still you're so angry and so upset, Prophet ﷺ say, lay there. You know, so that you can take yourself there. Because this is from shaitan. There's another hadith that says, make wudu, but it's graded to be weak. As Sheikh Al-Albani in Da'if al-Jami' mentioned. So here, when you're upset, while standing, sit down. If you're sitting down still angry, lay down. This is the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Now in the advice of Thomas Jefferson, he said, when you're angry, you know, count 10 before you talk. But if really, really angry, then 100. But you see, that of our Prophet is way deep. And that's the best one. You see? So if you're angry, while standing, sit. If you're still angry while sitting down, lay down. Prophet ﷺ said, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the advice of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You remember when he passed by, you know, a lady who was crying. And then Prophet said to her, to that lady, be patient. She said, ilayka anni, leave me alone. Then Prophet left. Later on, she was informed, the one who was talking to her was Prophet. She became really angry. She said, subhanAllah, I didn't know. Rapidly, she dashed the woman and said, O Messenger of Allah, I didn't know that was you. Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. Patience is not after a while. The moment that the things are really heavy on you, that's when Allah wants you to be patient. You see, not when everything is gone. It's already gone, you say, I'm patient. Just like a man who was eating, when a bird came and took, you know, his food, he jumped to catch the bird. You know, he couldn't get his food back. He said, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The bird is already gone. Right? So now, even you don't say fi sabilillah, you will never get your food. It's a khalas. Ummah. Atamali ba'da kid. You see? So subhanallah. So this lady, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said to her, no, as-sabr inda sadmati al-ula. The patience that Allah expects from you as a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the moment that things are really heavy on you, really difficult, tough, just, you know, the musibah and the problem had just arrived on you. That's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see how patient you will be as a slave of Allah. So when a man came to Prophet, he said to him, La taghdab walaka al-jannah. Don't be angry, meaning don't carry out your anger and behaving in a way that Allah doesn't like, and then you will get Jannah. So this is the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. So, ikhwan, you know, sometimes you earn a son with his father, or a father with his son, or maybe mother with her daughter, or daughter with her mother. Or sometimes you and your wife or wife with your husband, you know, the wife starts saying things. While both of you standing, try your best to sit there. You're sitting down, she will not keep quiet. 99% she will still talk. Lay down. You see, what? 99%, you're sitting down, she will say, well, I get him now. Now that he's down, let me bring all. I'm going to bring them all. You see, because when you're standing up, Ikhwan, and she is talking, you know, you're already up. So all your postures, you know, in place. You know, you can throw, you can do some, you know, some mountain block, and you can do all that kind of move. You know what I'm talking about? So when you sit down, you know, you lessen it. You know, when you sit down, you lessen your what? You know, your movement. While you're still sitting down, you know, you still have your leg. You know what I'm talking about? You still can move with your leg. Especially those with Wing Chun move, you see. But when you're laying down, now, that means, you know, now it's much less. Now you have to flip in order for you to throw some. So when you're really angry, Ikhwan, that's the transition. That's the you know, the amount of things that Prophet ﷺ asked us to do. So you're angry, sit. If you're standing, you're sitting down, it's still, you know, coming to you. Lay down, Prophet ﷺ said. So this is the meaning of the hadith, La Taghdab. Imam Ibn Uthaymeen Al-Allama Rahimahullah, just like Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid said, you know, the man who came to Prophet ﷺ asking and seeking that counseling, Prophet knew that it's a man, you know, who is much easier. He usually gets angry. So that was the best medicine that Prophet ﷺ could give. That's why he asked him not to be angry. Meaning when he is upset, when he is really angry, he shouldn't behave, you know, in very usual way. So this is the advice of Rasulullah ﷺ. Right away we move to hadith number 17. Hadith number 17 is from Abi Ya'la Shaddad ibn Awsin anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aw an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, from hadith of Abi Ya'la, father of Ya'la, Shaddad, son of Aws, who said, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reported to have said, إِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ, you know, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me read the whole hadith, then I come back to explain. From Abi Ya'la, Shaddad ibn Aws, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قَالَ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ في كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتل وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبح وليحد أحدكم شفرته وليرح ذبيحته. From Shaddad son of Aws Abi Ya'la, he said Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was reported to have said, إن الله كتب الإحسان. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prescribed perfection on everything. Fi, here scholars said, ala, you know, katab al-ihsana fi kulli shay, ay ala kulli shay, or fi kulli shay. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained upon all of us perfection in everything. Everything Allah wants perfection in it. Whatever you do, it has to be perfect. Whatever you do, it has to be perfect. Whatever you try to carry out, make sure perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be, you know, really perfect. So, إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ, when you kill, make sure there is what? There is perfection in it. Perfect your killing. And when you slaughter, likewise, make sure you perfect your slaughtering. Let whosoever intends to slaughter sharpens his blade or the knife that he or she will slaughter with. And Prophet ﷺ said, by doing this, you spare the animal's suffering. You're not going to allow the animal to suffer. So let's back up again. Allah had written perfection on everything, meaning in everything. Allah means fi, or fi means here, Allah. So whatever you do, Allah wants it really perfect. Then Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ, when you kill. What does that mean? Even those, if you remember last week or a week, last week we talked about the hadith, or a week before we talked about the hadith, wherein Prophet ﷺ said, the blood of a Muslim, you know, is not allowed to be spilled without three, if you remember. So Prophet ﷺ said, even, now here we're talking about this hadith, hadith 17, that even if that person's blood, Islamically, is to be spilled, you have to make sure you don't go beyond the boundary. That's why in the war, when Muslims fighting in the battle, even they kill a non-Muslim, Prophet ﷺ said, لا تمثلوا. You know, when you kill a person, don't chop his, you know, his body. When you kill a person, don't say, you know, I'm really angry, I'm really upset, I'm really, and then you start, you know, messing up the person's body. Don't do it. You kill, that's it. So when you kill someone, and again, not just killing because you want to, there must be a reason, Islamically, not just, you know, I think, no, this person, not like that. It has to be a reason. And you cannot carry that based on your own accord. It has to be the way the Creator sanctioned, not the way we want. So if that's the case, when you kill, make sure those who deserve to be killed, like we talked about an-nafs bin-nafs. If somebody had killed someone, and we have, you know, the hukum and the shara of Allah is what governs the country, and the person is brought to be killed, we cannot just come and start stabbing the person and doing all kind of stuff. We just chop the neck, that's it. But as for he or she who commits adultery, and the person is married, stoning to death, that is the appropriate sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this. And this is not brutality in him. You see, so a person shouldn't use that as then what is the meaning of this hadith. Because this is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed so that the person will be forgiven completely. Because when a person commits adultery, he or she is whipped if not married, stoned to death if married. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use that as forgiveness for that person and take the person to Jannah. So the person will be forgiven at the end. It's not like the person will be stoned to death and taken to hellfire again. You see, so when you do this, that means you're purifying the soul of the person. So that's the meaning. Here Prophet said, when you kill, make sure you do not, you know, kill in the most, you know, brutal way. No, don't do it. أحسن القتلة. القتلة هي هيئة القتل. القتل is killing. قتلة is the way of killing. Just like if you say جلسة, جلسة means sitting. جلسة is the way of sitting. You see? So if somebody is sitting and the way he is sitting is not right, I can say, or you can tell the person in Arabic, you know, أحسن جلستك. You don't say أحسن جلستك. If the intention is, you know, the way he or she is sitting. You see? So, hay'atul qatli is al-qitla. The way you kill is qitla. So, when you bring an animal and you gun the animal before slaughtering, this is not the proper way of, you know, slaughtering. إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ, the same thing. وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. That's why when some people, you know, did something really, really nasty in the deen, Ali ibn Abi Talib decided to burn them. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas said to Ali radiallahu anhu, you know, innahu la yu'adhibu bin nari illallah. No one has authority, you know, to punish with fire except Allah. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib stopped. You know, because those Sahaba, all what they care about is proof. Once proof comes, they stop. They didn't say, well, I'm knowledgeable than you. No. I graduated before you. No, I graduated from Saudi, you graduated from Egypt. Or I graduated from Egypt, you graduated from Yemen. Or I graduated from here, you That's now Sahaba used to move. This is the Nas. This is the text from Quran and Sunnah. Because, you know, the point, the problem that we have today, Ikhwan, is a person thinks that if I drop what I believe and I espouse before to be truth, if I drop it, then that means, you know, I'm actually, you know, abasing myself. It doesn't mean that. A person cannot know everything. You brought something to me that I didn't know because I was holding different hadith or different understanding. Then you bring yours to me. I drop mine, take yours if our goal is deen. But the whole problem is that if that's the case, well, you know, come back to correct my error and correct my mistake. Well, and I already said it and they have it on YouTube and 100,000 people had given me thumb up. Now, if I correct that, they're going to give me thumb down, all that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to correct it. Let me keep the 100,000 thumbs up. Well, Jahannam will be bi'sa al-masir if you hold that and misguide people. You see, Ikhwan, so I say something that, you know, maybe I didn't know, or maybe escaped from my memory, or I did not, you know, pay attention when I was saying it, and somebody reminds me, I go back and correct it. That's if I really care about educating people Islamically, not just entertaining them for them to know that, you know, I have knowledge. You see, so here is Ibn Abbas is telling Ali, no, the only one who punishes with fire is Allah, then he stopped, he did. And I mentioned before when the Sahabi came, knocked at the door of Umar 3 times, and then he left when Umar did not permit him in. Later on, Umar sent, you know, for him to be called. When he came, he said, the reason why I left is because Prophet said, we only ring the bell 3 times, meaning we say the salam 3 times. If not, then we go. Umar never heard it from Prophet. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I want you to go bring me someone who had heard it from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he went and called upon the Ansari. And then he said, yes, I heard it from Prophet. Then Umar blamed himself. He said, chasing dollars outside, meaning in their language, meaning chasing their currency, you know, chasing dinar and dirham, you know, pushed me away from learning from Prophet. So he blamed himself, radiallahu anhu arda. So Ikhwan, this is deen. We shouldn't be a source of misguiding people. I didn't know it, but I said something thinking that that is the right thing, and then somebody, you know, brought it to my attention, I corrected. Even he wants to get all the thumbs on YouTube or Facebook, well, no problem, let him get it. Because my focus is to be saved from hellfire on the day of Qiyamah. That's what I care about. That's what you care about. That's what they care about. If that's the case, we will never have, you know, problems in our deen. The reason why we have problems, nobody wants to drop what he thinks is the right, you know, before his people in the masjid will say, well, our imam, man, he doesn't even have knowledge. Look at him. Like, you know, some group of people came to me, you know, in 2010, you know, they were asking me to help them find an imam, a very big masjid. It's huge. They're asking, please, if you can help us find an imam. I said, okay, inshallah. Then I asked them, where is the other imam? Because I knew the imam who was there. They said, actually, our, you know, former imam, his knowledge finished. That was the first time to hear this, you know, statement. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How can a person's not? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. They said, brother imam, his knowledge finished. I say, yeah. La. So if you bring another one and his knowledge finishes, then you're going to bring another one. You see, so the point here is, and I told you before, the masjid that kick another imam because he shouts on the minbar. They said, "Brother Imam, help us find another Imam." That's different masjid again. Said, "What's up?" He said, "Because our Imam, he shouts too much on the minbar." Then I told them that now I'm not the best person to talk to. You see what? So the point is, إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء أو في كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسن القتلة وإذا ذبحتم فأحسن الذبحة. Then Prophet said, when you slaughter, make sure you perfect your slaughtering. How? Make sure you sharpen your knife. Imam An-Nawawi said, it's also encouraging, if you can do it, make sure you let the animal drink water before you slaughter, because that helps. It's just like cleaning it from inside, and it's much easier for you to get it, because it's not dry. You see? And also, getting your slaughtering perfect is you don't sharpen your own knife in front of the animal. Or you don't kill animal, you don't slaughter animal in front of, you know, another animal. And that also, you don't slaughter the mother of the animal and leave the baby. And also, you do not slaughter the animal that is breastfeeding. You know, all this so that you can keep, you know, subhanAllah. Imam al-Sa'd said, if this is what Prophet ﷺ said in the right of animals, how about human beings? Being kind to even animals. That's why you remember the lady who, the prostitute, that, you know, get down when she saw the dog, you know, suffering from, you know, thirst. What did the lady do? She took, because she herself, she was thirsty too. So she